Good morning again, and wow, two Sundays in a row. I have new appreciation and awe for Amy's ability to enthrall and enlighten us week after week, and deeper gratitude for being asked to speak while she's away, because I've been changed by this series, and especially this topic, social action and its roots. I want to begin with the image of a tree. A tree grows from its roots, draws nourishment up through its trunk, and reaches out into the world through its leaves. It's one living organism, but each part plays a different role. In a recent conversation with Hank, this is the image that came to me to describe how our distinct gifts might unite in midwifing and stewarding a new world order. When we talk about social action, about responding to injustice, to ecological collapse, to human suffering, it's tempting to start with the leaves, the highest part of the tree. The leaves are what drinks the light, exhales the oxygen that sustains us. Marches, campaigns, volunteer work, activism of all sorts. But what I've been discovering throughout this series is if we start there without attending to the roots and the trunk, our efforts can become exhausting and unsustainable. Like leaves cut off from the tree, our capacity for successful direct action can dry up. So I'm going to dig deep into trees for a moment because they're such a great metaphor. Water is carried from the roots of trees up through the trunk to the leaves through xylem cells. Sugar is then transported back to the rest of the tree through phloem cells, which can be stored in the trunk or the roots or used for immediate growth. The amount of photosynthesis that can occur in the leaves is directly related to the amount of water that the roots can absorb. Likewise, restricting the roots' growing space will limit the amount of water that can be transported to the leaves for photosynthesis. These last three talks I've begun not at the canopy, but at the roots, often unseen but essential. They reach deep into the soil, connecting to water, nutrients, and the entire underground microbial network of life. For us, the roots of social action are our relationship with Indra's net, the interconnected and intervulnerable web of being, our sense of belonging to something larger than ourselves. Before we can act wisely and courageously in the world, we have to remember where we ground and what sustains us. I'm seeing so many inspiring ways this understanding is being integrated into the activist communities I've come across, in contrast to the protests of the 60s, which could be a little scary, actually. There's a deepening awareness of the importance of the state from which we act being as important as the action. Comanche activist LaDonna Harris identifies this brilliantly when she talks about the four central values shared by many indigenous peoples: relationship, responsibility, reciprocity, and redistribution. Relationship means recognizing all of our kin: plants, animals, waters, soils, ancestors, future generations. Responsibility is the obligation to care for those relationships. Reciprocity is the give and take, the exchange of gifts and support that keeps the web alive. Redistribution is the practice of sharing not just wealth, but time, skills, and energy in service to the whole. These are root practices, and there is a ceremonial aspect to them. They anchor us in reality. They remind us that we're not separate from the world. We're trying to heal. When our roots are deep, our actions grow out of belonging rather than fear. It's not survival of the fittest, but survival of the interconnected. The trunk represents our psychological, emotional, and spiritual maturity. Bell Hooks once wrote that we cannot create effective movements for change if we are not also working toward our own self-actualization. When wounded individuals come together without doing their inner work, the collective struggle is often undermined by unhealed pain. A healthy trunk is strong enough to withstand the storms of hate and fear and retribution without being sucked into their vortex. The trunk is also where the muscle of humility is toned, so that the life flowing from below doesn't get stuck in the ego trunk, but can move freely toward the leaves. The trunk asks us to cultivate qualities like curiosity, compassion, and courage. To hold complexity without collapsing into rigidity, cynicism, or denial. It's the work of becoming stable enough, wise enough, compassionate enough to channel what we've received from the roots through our wise intellect and into living action. And of course, this doesn't mean that we put off social actions until we're ready, in quotes. We will never be that kind of ready. But if we meet societal breakdown with othering, rigidity, and blind certainty, or if we hide away and try to ignore what's happening, we end up mirroring the very dynamics we want to change. We act not because we're fully ready or pure or even sure of the way forward. Our energy comes from our vision of what life could be like. And when we sense that wonder and blessing already moving through us, our action becomes ceremony. The leaves are where the tree exchanges energy with the world, where it breathes, receives light, and offers life back. For us, this is the realm of direct action, showing up with our hands and our hearts and our voices. There are so many young and old movers and shakers who have found this confluence where personal healing, interpersonal connection, and direct action meet. One of the elders, of course, is Joanna Macy, who helped create the field of deep ecology. Others such as Kazu Haga and his book Fierce Vulnerability, and Valerie Kumar with her revolutionary love activism, are showing ways in which all of us can participate in the work. In her book, Sacred Instructions, Sherry Mitchell invites us to think of our activist energy like this. 10% noticing harm. 10% stopping it, and 80% dreaming a new world into being. This blew my mind. It doesn't mean ignoring injustice. It means remembering that imagining and embodying what we want is in itself a powerful action. Imagine and embodying is another way our action and our life becomes ceremony. Kazu Haga also talks about shifting our intention from merely stopping harm to also repairing relationships and dreaming new possibilities. He asks, what if instead of anger, we lead with heartbreak? What if instead of holding signs with demands, we tell stories? What if no one, even those on the other side, ever had to question their belonging. There is so much grace in the growing recognition that the way we show up matters as much as the actions themselves. It makes this introverted personality so much more willing to show up to marches and demonstrations. It really does take all of us to make a revolution. Instead of activism being merely reactive, activism with grounding again becomes ceremony. In ceremony, our presence is the gift, is the medicine. And through ceremony, we're able to offer that medicine the world needs to others. Which does not mean we're out to change anybody. And that's a hard one to reconcile sometimes. But there's not much we can do to control other people and how they show up in the world. We've all tried, I'm sure. The best we can do is control how we show up. Be intentional about what we're contributing to a conflict and hope we can impact the moment in a skillful and constructive way. Part of ceremony means we're not out to change anybody. Darn. I'll give you an example. Last year, I was really annoyed with a co-housing neighbor who is not in this building. I'll just say that. They were so rigid. They weren't listening. They showed no empathy. And worst of all, of course, they did not agree with me. We were stuck, and each conversation we went head to head. I gnawed on this for a really long time. That old adage about the definition of crazy, meaning you do the same thing over and over and expect a different result, that was me. Until, through sheer grace, trust me, I started to notice how I was being rigid, not showing empathy or compassion for that person. I decided I would reground in my term is interested curiosity and accept them just the way they were. That became kind of a mantra for me. Just the way they are is perfect. And lo and behold, after a short while, that person got a lot nicer. It was amazing. We started exchanging information instead of frustration, and I actually now see them as a valuable member of the community. It took me a really long time to call this direct action. It didn't change the world, but it changed my world. I learned that, like giving birth, strategies don't work. Love, acceptance, and vulnerability work. Instead of the question, why don't you just change, that was implicit in my annoyance, a new question arose. How will we use this sacred, finite time we have together? How can living in this microcosm of community be seen as practice for ceremony in the larger world? In Grandmother Tree, some of us will be tending the leaves, reaching into the world with immediate action and compassion. Some will be caring for the trunk, challenging the power over systems with mature strength and courage. And some will be tending the roots, doing the work of building connection, concentrating not so much on what there is to do, but on how to be in the world. And whether we identify more with roots, trunk, or leaves in any day, because it's all one organism, ceremony is that invitation to step into sacred space where certainty takes a back seat. And what comes forward is the fertile ground of discomfort and possibility. Discomfort and possibility. Ceremony is never a straightforward map to an end goal. It's a dance, an improvisation that asks us to join in, find our own rhythm, and see where it leads. Not to sing in unison, but in a way that allows us to harmonize. I'm using a lot of similes and metaphors here. Ellie, this is for you. Harmony does not mean simple major thirds. It is often complex, discordant, and sometimes even jarring before it eventually resolves into a chord our systems can relax into. But the good news is greed, hate, oppression, and revenge cannot stand complexity. They don't know what to do with it. Mutual harmonious care is the only way to thrive in the complexity of our world and the only way that brings lasting change. We are the co-dreamers and co-creators of the world we want to live in. It's up to us. May we find our place on Grandmother Tree and use our hands and hearts, heartbreak and anger, compassion and perseverance, and above all, love, to carry the great work forward. And so it is, and amen.